Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. You are listening to our pilot episode of Biopsy. George and I decided a great tangent, if you will, to documentaries is the biopic. So this is our version of SupDoc, but with biopics. Again, Biopsy. And I hope you guys like it. It's just going to be loose. It's going to be fun. It's going to be funny. George and I will go see a biopic, and then we're going to recap it for you guys.
Yeah, and I did have to go to a theater because this is fresh out the theater. What are we talking about this week, Paco?
This week we are talking about Rocket Man. Rocket Man flying around. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No applause.
Wait, why am I thanking you? Okay.
That's a good question. Yeah, Rocket Man, which is obviously the Elton John biopic. And I also went to a theater for the first time in a long time to see this. I was in Sacramento. It was 113 degrees, and I could not get to the theater quick enough. I also had posted on Facebook, can you bring a backpack into a theater? It's been kind of a long time since because I didn't want to leave it in my car. I had my laptop in it. And I didn't want to leave it in the car in the parking lot, A, because someone would probably steal it, and B, it would just melt because it was so hot outside. I brought it in, and it was full of candy and Pringles and a giant thing of water, and it was awesome. So,
what kind of theater was it? Like, what does Sacramento have? Is this like an AMC?
This was a Century 16 or something, mm-hmm. Some weird number. It was right next to the Punchline. I was at the Punchline a couple weeks ago for the week, and it's next to the Punchline. So it made it easy. I just parked in the Punchline parking area and walked it in. There was a big sign that said, this is our bag laws, our bag mm-hmm. rules, and I just walked by that lady that was sitting at that desk while she was looking another direction and just walked past her with my giant backpack full of delicious goodies. Mm-hmm.
I saw this film at the Los Feliz 3 because it was at the Vista for maybe a week. And then I think it got replaced by Pets 2.
Oh,
that's the context in which I saw it, which is that I'm actually happy to see a movie at the Los Feliz 3. I've seen a lot of great movies there. There's my walkable local theater. Yeah, and the Vista is a better theater for the big experience for sure, but we were in the big room. It was nice.
Did you sneak anything in, though, George?
Yeah, I snuck in a Pellegrino blood orange soda.
Look at you.
Did not want to buy popcorn. I'd eaten a bunch of popcorn already that day. This is a popcorn review show? Is that also what biopic is?
Maybe. It might be. Steph Curry loves popcorn, BT dubs.
Oh, yeah. Do I say RIP or what do I say for Steph Curry? Do I say anything?
Let's just move on.
Let's just not talk about it.
It's too sad. Let's talk about something even sadder.
Okay.
Rocket Man, the biopic.
Man. I also really legitimately part of the reason this is called Biopsy is I thought that's how you pronounce biopic. I thought it was biopic.
Oh, that's funny. Is that true?
No. But like you could see how it's spelled that way, and it sort of functions similarly to a biopsy. Biopic.
Yeah,
Isn't it a biopic?
That's hilarious.
When I first heard biopic, I was like, oh, I'm dumb.
That's funny. Well, I mean, it's kind of a biopsy because we're going to open her up and look inside of her and see what happens. Because the thing with as our list, I mean, here's the thing: when you recap a documentary, a lot of times we're kind of on the same page. We kind of both just liked it because it's a good documentary and we want to recap and talk about it. With biopics, I think we have a little more leeway in like hated it versus like mm-hmm. I loved it. You know, So, like, with Rocket Man, it's not that I didn't... I wanted more, George. I wanted more. I love Elton John. I grew up with Elton John, playing Candyland, listening to Elton John, drinking some high C, you know, in my PJs. Those are my childhood memories. My older brother was a huge Elton John fan. I think everybody.
Well, you're a pianist, right?
Yeah,
you're also a pianist.
Yeah, thank you for noticing. Yeah, I play the piano. I always loved. I mean, the reason I listened to The Doors was because of Ray Manzarek, not because of Jim Morrison and the Lizard King shit. I love Paul McCartney because he was a piano player. So I liked Elton John because of that. But I really wanted more from this. It felt a little soft.
Well, the fact that he is the executive producer of it might have something to do with it. But I'll tell you, I had maybe the inverse reaction to this film.
Okay.
Converse, inverse, complimentary. I am pretty cynical about musicals.
Sure.
In the first place.
Did you know it was a musical going into it?
I did not, but I kind of suspected it would be.
Okay.
But not to the extent that it was.
Okay.
Like when the first musical scene happens, right. I'm like, did I just fucking La La Land this shit? What
yes.
is this?
I felt this. I almost dropped my Pringles. I was like, no, I don't like
to the point
musicals.
Where like, we're going to spoil this for anyone.
Well, yeah, I guess
not,
so.
I mean, there's not that much to spoil, but I mean, like, just this shot of like he's in color, everyone else is kind of in muted colors. Like, I was just like, oh man, this is like almost. I actually, that scene reminded me of, for some reason, A Wrinkle in Time. I don't know why.
Wait, which scene?
Just when he first leaves the therapy room,
right,
and ends up like back in his childhood,
right.
Also, I had a bone to pick with the entire structure of the, that he's like in like an AA type group. I'm just like, when are they going to cut to someone else in this group?
Right.
Like this,
right.
Even in an AA group, it's like dominated, of course, dominated by the guy in the devil suit, you know?
That was
it's
a like, weird.
Like, well, actually, my bottom was actually when my wife left me. He's like, okay, well, I was doing cocaine in an orgy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
But I actually like this film. I like him more than I did before, and I appreciate him. And I did feel like, yeah, it's soft, I guess, is a good description. It felt mushy in a lot of ways, but I just turned off my critical brain. After all this, in a musical, like you just can't use your critical brain.
No.
And I just like, I'm going to just turn off my critique and just like let the emotions come at me because this is what it is designed to just deliver emotions to you. And on that level, I was like pretty happy with it.
I mean, I wanted something darker. I was hoping because I know Elton John's background was pretty dark. I mean, he was a cocaine and alcohol. He was addicted to cocaine and alcohol. He didn't come out for quite a long time until he finally did. And then, I mean, I appreciated the fact that they did not cut out gay sex and alcohol and cocaine abuse out of this movie. Cause I think it needs to be in there. And I think one of the games we were talking about playing is what did they not show? Like, cause a lot of times biopics would be like, even in Walking Tall, whatever the,
Dewey Cox, Walk Hard.
No, what was the Joaquin Phoenix? What was
the Johnny Cash thing?
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
I forget the name of it.
I have not seen it. So,
but even even that kind of cut around some of the nastier bits. But I mean, I appreciate they didn't do this. I was just hoping for like a real, like really well acted dark biopic. That's what I was hoping for. I didn't know there was going to be a musical. There was going to be a musical.
Do you feel like they, if he was not alive, that they would have gone a little bit harder on some of that stuff?
I think they would have gone softer.
Softer if he was not alive. Right,
if he
right,
was if, dead, which is spoiler alert, he didn't die. So
yeah.
I think they would have gone softer. Yeah, because they would have made it seem like he was probably some wonderful child and, you know, and whatever. But I from what I read is Elton John wanted them to make sure they kept in the stuff that he was like, no, I was like, A, gay, and I had gay sex, and I was addicted to cocaine and alcohol. Like, that's part of my story, you know. Like, I think they've been shopping this around for quite a long time.
Did he write a memoir or anything? I'm like wondering what this kind of came out of. To me, it sort of was like, why now? That's kind of was my first thought when I saw this was happening. I'm like, Yeah, why he's still alive. He's maybe retiring from performing. Is that part of why they did it now?
Well, he is retiring. Yeah, he is retiring. I think that, I mean, from what I remember reading, they were shopping this around since the early 2000s. So it was they was trying to find a movie. They was trying to make a movie for quite a long time. So it wasn't about the fact that he was is retiring. I don't think they found anybody who wanted to actually pick it up. However, he is retiring, and I also think that soon on Broadway we'll be seeing Rocket Man the musical.
Oh yeah, this is structured that you could easily do that. I mean, I did think it was clever to people. I think were commenting on other podcasts and online about how sequentially the you know the songs that were being played in the time period never were matched. Quite right.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't make any sense. As a matter of fact, there's a couple of moments when I was like, I can think of an Elton John song now that would be better for this moment than the one you just picked. You know, it's just like, oh, come on. Like, let's get at least that straight.
I mean, I think they should have just ended on Circle of Life. I don't know why that didn't happen. Maybe. Maybe because Lion King's coming out, too. And also that there's only like a little hint of Candle in the Wind. And like, that's like, I didn't realize that he was like, in the 70s, like 5% of like all music sales.
I didn't
either.
That
was bonkers. That's, I mean, were the Beatles more than 5%?
Jesus, that's a good question. Maybe collectively. They must have been. Yeah, they must have been.
Thriller is still like the number one album of all time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess we're talking 5% worldwide.
I mean, 5% of all formats in like the 70s. I mean, the number of hits he produced is astonishing.
Just, it's amazing.
Did you know that there was a documentary in 1997 that his husband made?
About what?
Called Elton John Tantrums and Tiaras, which is a documentary. There is a documentary. No. But it's about him kind of touring in like 95. A lot of it.
What?
I've not seen it.
That's
I'm just reading about
awesome
it right now.
Awesome title. Tantrums and Tiaras?
It sort of indicates that kind of like bitchy side of him that it sort of is in here, but it's all cut with the sort of knowing about his like childhood traumas and stuff.
Right.
But it's more interesting. I think it's made by his husband. So it's kind of just like a tour doc with the husband just being like, this is all the behind the scenes stuff of this tour he did.
Wow. No, I've never even heard of that. No, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. Huh.
That's pretty cool. I'd like to see that. I mean, yeah. I think it's astonishing. Like you, well, like you said, how many hits they had. Like Bernie Maupin, Taupin rather. Like,
Who's Bernie Maupin? Are you thinking of Armistead Maupin?
No, Bernie Maupin's a funk piano player.
Oh, okay.
Bernie Taupin rather. I always thought he was American. But I guess it's because he moved to the United States and stayed. Like, I remember reading that he would mail Elton John lyrics in the mail from the United States, and then Elton John would put them to music. So I always assumed he was American and not British. I didn't realize he was British.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I mean, I actually, like, that relationship was interesting to me, and I didn't know much about the real relationship. I always thought it had more tension to it. You know, I thought that they, you know, didn't work together for a long time.
Right.
But according to like what everything he says, like they never really fought or anything.
Well, so this is awesome because in the biopic, he's like, you know, we've never even had a fight in the 28 years we've been together. Smash scene. They're in backstage and Elton John's like, fuck you, Bernie. Get the fuck out of here. You're never my dad. And Bernie Taupin was like, okay. And like the next thing you see is them fighting. It's hilarious. They're like,
yeah, but they like make up right away. It's just clearly like it's like a. I mean, it seems like that's a key thing to. I feel like it is interesting to me that like all of the genius of Elton John is not in the lyric writing. You know,
right?
Like,
right.
Did he ever write his own lyrics?
No,
that's
I don't think so.
Kind of amazing that like the biopic. That the musical based on his life, all the writing is Bernie Taupin.
Yeah.
All the actual lyrics is Bernie Taupin.
Yeah. The genius really is Taupin but Elton John figured, I mean, all Elton John is doing is playing hymnals. That's all It's all his music is. They're all
okay,
hymnals.
Now, can you explain that musically to me, what you mean by that? Because I don't think I understand musically what you mean by they're hymnals.
Yes, they're basically church hymnals from like Anglo-Saxon church hymnals, which are not quite like the bluesy hymnals you'll hear in Southern Baptist churches, but it's 1-4-5 chord progressions. You know, it's all second inverted chords, 1-4-5. Bum, 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 bum. That's all. That's a church hymnal. That is just basically gospel, you know, and that's what he's playing. And almost entirely in his songs are super easy to play. They're all 1-4-5 C, G, F, you know, with maybe a seventh thrown in for a little like bluesy like positioning. But it's all just basically gospel.
Well, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying now. Like just musicologically, it seemed like he was really influenced by like soul music and I was just thinking in the whole film that like Benny and the Jets just stands out as like not being the formula of anything else.
Right. Yeah.
It's like it's got a slightly different vibe to it.
That's a weird song to peg down because it's not a typical rock song. It's not his bluesy gospel thing that he likes to do. It's not even like his, you know, he did a couple like kind of country dirge type songs that I love. Dirt Cowboy, whatever the album's called. Like there's some, like he has some really interesting stuff, but his most popular stuff is kind of the gospel-y stuff. But yeah, Benny and the Jets, it's such a weird song if you think about it. The other thing I love about Elton John's songs, if you listen to him, it's almost like they were produced by the Beach Boy. Like there's so much, like you can hear like a theremin, you can hear like a triangle, you know, it's there's a lot. He fills up his songs with lots of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like he's definitely the fact that like when the scene where he's supposed to be at the Troubadour, which looks like it was filmed at the Troubadour.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
Except for the Troubadour now does not have a green room, I don't think, or I was not privy to the green room. The Troubadour, the one time I've been to the Troubadour, I played the Troubadour is what I'm saying.
That's pretty cool.
In the mid-2000s, but you had a storage unit in the back where you put all your gear, and it's in an alley behind you. There's no backstage to put your gear. You had to put it in the storage shed behind the stage. And then one band loads out, another band loads in through the back lot. So it was probably different in. Oh, by the way, that scene, Tate Donovan. Do you know that actor? He's like the club owner. I don't know who he's supposed to, in real life. And he's got the knife. I'm like, this must be like a character, like a Ronnie Bingenheimer type character, like legendary LA music character that I do not know who he is, but he plays it very well. It's a ridiculous performance. I was just like, I'm taken out of this right now by Tate Donovan's like scenery chewing, but it felt right.
Well, you can't have a music biopic without some kind of club owner or A&R guy from the record label who comes up and he's like, what are you doing, kid? Like, you're going to be a big star. Like, I remember in the Doors movie, like they play the whiskey and all of a sudden this guy comes up to him and they're just like, we're from A&M Records. Like, we want to sign you now. And Jim Morrison's like, but I'm the Lizard King. You know, like there's always that moment. Biopics always have that moment. Musical ones anyways.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this definitely, I think it's, I don't know how I feel. So you didn't like that it was a musical? Because that's like a hard thing to get over.
It's a very
the rest of the movie.
I literally let out.
If you're not on board
sound
with that, yeah.
Right. I literally sitting there next to a very sweet older couple and obviously a sweet two older women who are like on a friend date. I literally said, oh, come on. Like I wanted something a little darker. Taron Egerton. Is that how you say it? Taron?
Taron. Yeah. Taron. This is something I learned just now. I thought he was related to the other Edgertons. But they're E-D-G-E-R-T-O-N. He's Edgerton without the D. So this whole time I've been like, yeah, he looks like Joel Edgerton. And I'm like, he doesn't.
I'm just, that's interesting.
Assumed that he was related. And then I was like, where are these Edgertons came out of Australia, taking over Hollywood? There's like three or four of them.
They're like the Wayans.
Yeah, but I guess if one was spelled Wayans with an E or something.
Right. Well, Taron Egerton sounds like a character out of Game of Thrones. I mean, you know, it's like right. The noble Taron Egerton of the House family, you know.
That's a good segue into Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because of Richard Madden.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
Rob Stark, man.
Yeah, Rob Stark makes a, well, it's not even a cameo. He's a pretty big part of this fucking movie.
I feel like you see Rob Stark naked on Game of Thrones, so like you would see more Rob Stark butt in Game of Thrones than you would see in Rocket Man. I want to say.
Maybe. I don't know if I remember Rob Stark's butt in Game of Thrones.
Also, seemed like when they're making out that Elton John was the top.
Yeah, that's not believable.
Which I was surprised by that was a choice.
Maybe. I'm like,
maybe that's, he produced it. That's what he's putting out there.
That's top billing. That is what top billing is, friend.
Rob Stark got bottom billing, yeah.
Right. It's, and then, you know, he plays the classic. There's, again, biopic. You have to have the asshole. You have to have the antagonist. The guy that's like, you know, I'm only in it for the money and I'm going to pretend I love you until the money's too good. And then, you know, now I'm getting a blowjob while your family shows up at the castle.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think if that character is named John Reed. I don't know what it was really like, but like it's his movie. If he wants to portray that relationship like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he was a terrible person to be in a relationship with at that time, too.
I would think so.
So, I mean, you know, but like his issues with like needing love really like this is not the right person for you. You know,
no.
It's really like. A bad
yeah, well, he didn't get it from the parents, apparently, you know, like
thank God for the grandma. You need that grandma once in a while.
Thank God for granny, for real. One thing I remember reading about this is that in real life, his parents were even worse than how they're portrayed in the movie. So, and then, you know, a game I do want to play in biopic is Who Died? Because someone always dies. Now, no one died in this movie, but his relationship with his dad, death. It died.
I feel like it was like a stillbirth. It was
maybe
like
he was never there.
Pretty bad overall. Oh, my God. Yeah, like I hated that dad.
Yeah.
I really did not like the mom, but I guess maybe there's my own issues. how you think about your parents.
Yeah,
in relationships to this whole thing.
Does anyone go into the arts that has a loving relationship with their parents besides Tommy Lee?
Couple weird hippies I know, I think. With Tommy Lee from Motley Crue?
Yeah.
No, I did not see The Dirt. We should have done The Dirt.
I mean, I guess famously. Yeah, we'll do it next. Famously, he's just had loving parents that were like supportive and bought him drums and were just like, whatever you do is great, Tom. Because that's how it's portrayed in the biopic as well. So, I mean, that's what I've heard is too. It's like he was actually the normal one of the band.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, crazily enough, if you think about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is uncommon in the arts. But also, like, is Elton John better known in England than in America? I don't know if that's the case. I feel like he's probably equally well known, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's better known at this point in his life.
I was surprised because I think of Elton John as being kind of more of a boomer generation musician.
Yeah.
Which would warrant, like, you know, a major motion picture about you. I was just wondering, like, how younger people... I guess some of these songs are just in everyone's.
For sure. I mean, I think he hit pretty much every generation until this most recent one. I mean, he had like "I'm Still Standing," like from my generation. You know, like he had hits in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah,
you know?
Lion King has got to be. What is there post Lion King? Has there been a hit since Lion King?
No,
"Candle in the Wind" was after Lion King.
No,
The Lady Di died in 96.
97.
When was Lion King?
early 2000s, I thought.
Was it? Okay. No, I'm
I don't
totally,
know. I don't know my Lion King space. History. I should. But The Candle in the Wind kind of put him back on the old map.
94.
There.
Lion King was 94, yeah.
Was the movie?
Yeah, so that with Lion King and then Candle in the Wind. Okay, so he wrote Candle in the Wind originally about Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
And then they just repurposed it for Di, sure. Lady, for Princess Di.
Well, he wrote new lyrics, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Think I'm pretty sure
Bernie did. Yes, Bernie's got to write those lyrics.
Bernie wrote some new lyrics.
I like that after like 50 years in show business, he's just like Bernie, write me some lyrics. How do I replace Norma Jean with Diana? How do I do it? Like, but I've done a lot of cocaine. I don't know how to rearrange. Like he's maybe at some point is just like. You know, I think maybe change this line.
Yeah,
no.
Maybe. Okay. I
but
saw
then
him.
Again, no.
I saw Elton John outside Lands.
No, I was there too. Yeah, I remember.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I remember just trying to charge my phone off my laptop during that entire set. I'm just like, I don't know this song. I don't know this song. Oh, I know that song.
Right.
Oh, I know that song.
It was like watching everyone's favorite aunt play the piano. Like he was, you know, he has kind of a very feminine way of playing. But one of my favorite things he did was after each song would get up, walk, lean against the piano and smile and to huge and then go back. That was like his big, because he used to wear chicken outfits and fly through the sky. And now it's just standing up and leaning against the piano.
Wait, did he do a lot of actual like wire stunts or like when he's jumping off that piano and at the Troubadour? He really is just like Jerry Lee Lewis-ing it, right? He's just like...
Yeah, probably at the Troubadour, but I think at some point he was probably wired, like flying over the audience and stuff. I think everyone tried that in the 70s and 80s. You know,
oh, yeah, AC/DC, that's true. Yeah.
Led Zeppelin came over from a wire. You know, like it was just something you did. Like Pink Floyd took it to the, you know, the max. But
they had different insurance rules for rock stars back then. You could just throw shit out a window.
Well, you have to be a certain weight. Like, there's a weight restriction on those wires. So, like, because I once wrote a sketch show, and we were trying to wire people around, and I couldn't get it approved until the smallest actress we had finally said yes, and then she was the right weight to do that.
Oh, that's why they always have like really small people playing Peter Pan and stuff.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly. You can't have a big, can't have a heavyweight person.
That's why that Spider-Man musical tanked, Turn Off the Dark. People just kept falling off the wires all the time.
They didn't test them.
That's the one thing I feel like was missing from Into the Spider-Verse was like someone just came straight from a failed Broadway musical.
Right. Yeah, that could be. So let's for Rocket Man. I you know, if you're into Elton John, you should definitely go see it. For me, I was hoping for something a little darker, less musical orientated. But there's some comedy in it. A little bit. Yeah, there's a little bit. I mean,
but it's a melodrama. It's a melodrama.
Yeah, it's a melodrama. There was one particular scene that I actually really enjoyed, the pool when
He
dives in and, you know, it's melodramatic, but it's him. I don't know if he's trying to commit suicide or not, but it's like, you know, he's sitting next to his like younger self in the pool.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I related to. He really wanted to go to Tower Records. I really wanted to go to Tower Records. He's in the Tower Records documentary. That's one part of the Tower Records documentary that Colin Hanks made. All Things Must Pass. They talk about like, Elton John, I guess, seems like he had a house. I mean, I'm sure he had like $25 million in like 1977 or whatever.
That's a lot of money.
He had a house in L.A. He had a house in London, it looks like.
Right.
But he would just go to Tower Records, the original Tower Records in L.A., and just like walk out with like a shopping cart full of records.
That's awesome.
Probably 8 tracks at that time, you know.
Yeah.
He's just like, he is a shopaholic. The other two things I liked were when you sort of see him like eating his feelings, I'm like, oh yeah, that's I can relate to this.
That's relatable.
He's like a balding middle-aged man eating his feelings. I'm like, I'm on board with this.
I'm definitely on board.
Yeah. And just like, man, he really got played by that dude. His manager, lover guy really fucking played him. And at least in this telling of it, he really like
That's how you know you've made it to the top is when you get fucked over by a manager. Like, I've never been fucked over by a manager type or an agent.
Oh, like, I mean, I'm sure none of this is how it actually happened, but it's like the guy, you see him, like, at the Troubadour show, then he approaches him at a party that he wasn't invited to, and then just, like, it's just like, let's go hook up in my hotel room, you know?
Right. So,
and then he even comes back later and, like, just, like, is sort of dangling, like, love in front of him, you know? It's just, ugh.
Yeah.
But that guy has amazing posture. That's the other thing. I was like, I didn't realize, like, Rob Stark is just, like, look, he's just, like, a very, like...
Richard Madden, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's high status. That's how you maintain high status in your scenes, is you good posture, you don't move much. That's how you that's why, like, villains always have good posture and don't move much. It's very high status for Richard Madden.
Yeah, and I also realized at the end of the film that, did he get plugs?
Because
they make a lot of jokes about him losing his hair. Which he's, and then at the end, there's the real Elton John. I'm like, he got like plugs that
or
are like
a wig.
They're like either, they're like rhubarb red plugs or something. He's got a wig or something. I'm just like, I'm always sad when someone who's successful. That's like respect to Jeff Bezos for not getting a hairpiece. Yeah. You know, he's like, fuck it, I have money. I'm the richest dude in the world. Why do we need a hairpiece?
Yeah, no, I mean, and now he's single too. So look out. Like, that guy's about to order some spin fuck chairs from Amazon.
I mean, that's a whole other documentary we can get into. Just like, that should be a dating show. Just like, what is Jeff Bezos' dating life like right now? Like, what app did he made an app just for? He's got an app that just crawls Amazon orders to figure out who should date next.
That's God. Okay, so this was our first biopsy.
Oh, I forgot to say my casting. Young Elton John, David Cross. Young David Cross, young Elton John. At the end, you can kind of see it. But yeah.
Right. Yeah, I could see that. So I think, are we in agreement? People should go see this?
I think that, yes. I think that did you like La La Land? You might like this.
Okay, there you go. If you like La La Land, you might like Rocket Man. If you see it in Sacramento, go to Century 14, bring in some Pringles.
You might have another. Yeah, you might have by the time this comes out, it may have left the Los Feliz 3, but it's a nice little theater to walk to if you are in the neighborhood. And it'll be hitting streaming services soon enough, I bet you. And you think there's going to be a Broadway musical.
I do. If I had money, I would be looking for a producer right now to give my money to, because it's probably going to run on Broadway for like 10 years because it's fucking Elton John.
Yeah. And it's better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
Ugh. Yes. That movie was horrible.
Somehow managed to skip that. It was not available on MoviePass, so I managed to miss that.
Oh, I thought it was horrible. Oh. But that's a whole nother biopsy, my friend.
Man, I can't wait till they make the biopsy. Let's make a biopic about the guys that started MoviePass. There's a bunch of grifters.
Yeah, or maybe a good doc. But so we're not going to do this every week, biopsy. But if you see it, tune in. Let us know if there's a biopic you want us to check out and recap.
Now, you said biopic.
Did I?
Yeah, use the biopic.
Okay, fine. So you can email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com if there is a biopic or a biopic that you want us. Maybe we should just call it biopic.
Yeah, why not?
That's our thing.
I think that's going to be our thing. Yeah,
that's our thing.
Let's make bumper stickers.
Biopic.
People will know the enunciation.
Exactly.
Pronunciation through the bumper sticker. So, yeah. Do you like biopics?
Yeah, I love them. I love biopics.
Well, you know what? I'm going to put the bye in biopic and
goodbye.
Say goodbye.